Thanks to the folks at Racetech for helping this podcast out. Racetech.com, vintage bikes, modern bikes, flat trackers, street bikes. They got it all. Suspension, motor work. These guys do everything. They've been in business since, early 80s. Racetech.com. Tell me you listen to Pulp and you can save. Thanks to Racetech. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing Racer X Podcast. This is the Thunder Valley MX Review. Weege, JT, myself, talking Thunder Valley. Lots to get into. Great race. Lots of ins and outs to the folks at folks racing this weekend. And, thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, man. FlyRacing.com. 25 years of Fly. Whether it's Evo, whether it's Kinetic, whether it's Light, they got gear lines for all of you. Thanks to the folks at Fly Racing for all that they do. And, they got that Formula S helmet. You should check it out. Formula S helmet. It can literally save your life with an app, and it can notify your loved ones if you crash. It can notify the medical authorities. Check it out at flyracing.com for more information. And Chance Hymus, RJ Hampshire, many more wearing Fly Racing. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. Dean Wilson, Max Anstey, et cetera, et cetera. And also thanks to the folks at Renthal, renthal.com. When you look at Chance Hymus winning this weekend with Renthal products, you look at Jet Lawrence, Renthal products, Monster Energy Kawasaki, Mitch Payton, all of it, renthal.com for more information. They got an inventory locator on the website. Limited edition purple bars are back, although they may perhaps already be out, sold out. Renthal.com, check them out. They're winning everywhere. And 7/8 bar, fat bar, twin wall bar, fat bar 36. Mountain bike products are great as well. Chains. Yeah, they got Renthal's got chains, they got sprockets, right, grips, all of that, Renthal.com. We'll tell you more about MaxxisMotorsport.com later on in the show, but thank you to those guys for coming on board. And here's JT, Weege, and myself breaking Lakewood down. All right, everybody, let's talk Lakewood here on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Lots to talk about, a great day of racing between Hangtown and Thunder Valley, man. We've had a couple of great races here to start the motocross season. First up, he was in the booth this weekend with James Stewart, the Jason Wygant.
Yeah, and that's normally pretty normal, to be honest, just being in the booth. That's what I've done for a long time, but I have to say, this is an exception. This was probably the hardest show we've ever done, and it was the only time where I was so fried, or team fried, by the end of the final moto that I was like, man, I hope I don't mess something up. I've got nothing left. We were moving time, space, continuums. What we had, we had a half hour delay at the very beginning of the day.
Yep.
And we had when you have these NBC 2 hour windows, like we did, everything is planned to the second. You have to nail everything perfect to try to get everything in that 2 hours. And then the minute we start, we're like, we're going to be 30 minutes behind. And then the whole day was a complete scramble. I know the TV crew gets grief all the time. They did an unbelievable job keeping it on the tracks. But by the end of this day, I'm like, I'm done. This was not fun. This was hard work.
Also on the line, Fly Racing, flyracing.com. 25 years of Fly. And Chance Hymus continuing the stellar 250 season for Fly Racing. It's Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not too much. Even though I'm on the television broadcast team, I didn't have any hard times that Weege did. I just kind of go along for the ride. So great job, Weege. Great job, everybody that had to maneuver in and out of that. But I don't or deserve any of the credit from that because I just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah. How do you, what do? You just drop a bunch of features, Weege? Like you just drop
things? Kind of can't, because what people probably don't realize is most of those things are required. Like they're sponsored. People get mad that we show track maps all the time or hole shot things. And it's like,
yeah.
Folks, that adds
power at the races. That's literally how we all.
Yes, that pays for the whole thing. So you can't get rid of them, but you can move them around and be like, okay, we're going to skip it for now, and then we're going to hope a half hour from now we'll be in a position where we can get it in later. And I don't even know the amount of math that must have to go on to be like, okay, in 9 minutes, if we do this now, where an hour and 45 minutes from now, where will we end up?
Mm-hmm.
But it actually ended up better. The show, the NBC show, started with the final two laps of the first 450 moto, which should not have been shown on NBC, but the delay moved it into the show, and they still got the two motos in that they expected to get. And we ended with literally Jet taking the checkered flag, and we had 10 seconds to get off the air and give NBC their regular shows back. And it actually
unbelievable that we got out that fast. Like literally they were counting us down.
Yeah.
Getting off the air when Jet was like coming up to the checkers. It was insane.
Yes. And one of the biggest nightmares of motocross is the 30 minute plus two lap format. The race, it's like a 4 or 5 minute, you know, variance every single moto.
Yeah.
You never know. Like if they hit the checkered flag or the two lap to go sign, it could add 2.5 minutes, which all the planning in the world. But that 2.5 minutes at the end of the day is unknown.
Yeah, Davey's brought up before about if changing things would make it 30 minutes exactly, make the motos 30 minutes. It would be so much better for TV time, you know?
Yeah, or if you just said 35 instead of 30 plus 2, because at least you would know exactly how long the race would be.
How much did we miss that second, the two lap word, about 3 seconds?
3 seconds.
Four seconds?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that had to be driving them nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Great racing. Lots to talk about. Just like Hangtown, too. We've had some good motos. We talked a little bit about this in your dumb post-race show a little bit. It's been really cool. Like, Paula was track, venue, racing, but Hangtown and Lakewood have really made up for it.
Yeah, we'll get into all that here. It's been probably maybe the wildest back-to-back rounds we've seen in quite some time in this series when you add up everything from Sexton and Jed and Chance Hymus dominating a moto, and I mean, I don't even know where to start or end. It's been great.
Yeah, Jet, like, talking to people this week, they had to test a little bit. They changed some suspension things back to last year's settings, but he didn't ride that much. He's got a bad shoulder, and he was hoping to tough this one out, Weege, and he toughed it out to a tune of 2-1.
Yeah, and then, even that, like, he did a ton of interviews to his credit on Friday, press day, and told the same thing over and over. But then I feel like in the back channels, then I was hearing, you guys probably were too. Oh, it's actually worse than he's saying. It's actually better than he's saying. He's actually not that hurt. He's actually hurt worse. I heard it all.
He's got this hip thing going on too, like hip groin thing.
Oh, I didn't even know that one.
Yeah, that's a thing too.
Jeez.
So I don't know. Like I was talking to lots of people about it, trying to, just like you're saying, we're all trying to kind of read through the tea leaves here and understand what's happening. What is he playing up? What's he playing down? And you know, I've gotten hurt many times in my life. That's not a unique situation, but probably more than the average person, I've been injured. And when you are hurt like that, it doesn't matter if it's an ACL or, you know, he's dealing with the shoulder, he's dealing with his calf. He says now it's groin, like hip thing, all those things. You don't necessarily be hurting in the area that you're injured, but you end up compromising and you overcompensate with other areas of your body that are not injured, is what I'm trying to spit out here. So when his left calf or whatever is injured, it's just like having a bad knee. You're going to overcompensate with the other leg. So up to your body start giving out because you're overcompensating so much for the injured part of your body. So I think that's kind of what's happening is he's got one hurt shoulder. I bet the other shoulder is exhausted. He's got one calf that's missing a bunch of tissue. I'm guessing his other leg was really tired because he's weighting that other leg like it's picking up the slack. So it's doing a lot more work than it's necessarily ready for. So there's a lot of these unintended consequences and things that you're not really prepared for. And I think he's dealing with a lot of that. So it's probably hard to say, like, yeah, this is the one problem. That one problem or two problems is probably causing five others.
Yeah, and he won. He went 2-1 for the overall. And it was – people that I talked to were worried about the longer motos, and he certainly looked like in the first moto especially, like he was kind of just sort of riding around. You know, he looks like that anyways.
After both motos. I mean, wrecked.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely destroyed.
And in the second moto, it was like, he was like, okay, I want to say like 20 minutes in, 22 minutes in, he's like, I got 5 minutes in me to be the old Jet, push through, get by Hunter, right, pull away a little bit, and then hang on. And the ease that he got around Justin Cooper and then Hunter was like the old Jet. And then everything else, the other 25 minutes of riding, looked like a guy that was, you know, riding at whatever, 80%, 90%, whatever you want to put on it. But it's scary, Weege, that he did all that and he won.
Well, for sure. I mean, you assume he's only going to get better from here.
Yes.
So at that point, you're like, well, this was that had already won 24 straight. So potentially your best openings were Hangtown and Thunder Valley, and only one of those two races were won by someone else. But I think what helped a lot of this is, I think as we're learning the whole Lawrence program, and I think you could even count Heinesen on this a little bit, they just have a much more strategic approach. I mean, we've talked a million times in this podcast about managing a 3-second lead instead of trying to win by a minute, all that. I feel like a lot of that background might have went into this. I feel like Hunter and Jet are much more experienced with managing energy and effort and risk levels for 30 minutes. And this was probably the way you just, this is probably playing that game at the very highest level. Like, I mean, I don't think there was much strategy for Justin Cooper. It was,
yeah,
you're in the lead, go as fast as you can. And then when you get tired, try to find a way to keep going. That's it. But for sure, it looked like Jet was like pieces of the moto. Like when you have to go fast, go fast. When you can't, don't. And but he's been doing that in a roundabout way for a long time anyway.
Yeah, just looked like Jet was like, okay, time to go.
Yeah,
I got 5 minutes in me or whatever. I'm hurting. Let's do this. And he did it. And it was damn impressive. I'll talk about Justin Cooper in a second because he might be my new favorite rider ever. I'll tell you why. What? Yeah, I'll tell you why.
He was sending it the first half of the second moto. I mean, absolutely going for it.
Speaking of that, JT, what about Hunter at the end of Moto 2? Being like, okay, my brother's probably hurting and he's weak. And I was like, oh boy. And Hunter was going. And I was like, okay, I don't know where you're going to get him if you can. Hunter told me afterwards that he had a, you know, kind of spot to maybe pressure him a little bit. But Hunter was sending it too, man. And you got a feel for Hunter Lawrence. Like, you know, he's got the red plate, so I guess it's good. And it was a good day overall. But I think too, JT, if you're Hunter, you're like, I needed to win this one. I needed to do that. That second moto, I mean, you know.
I don't think anybody should necessarily be kind of like feeling for him. Like, have any, like he's doing amazingly well. Like he is.
No, I'm saying if you're Hunter, you got to be like, I got to get that one.
Right, but I don't feel for him. You know, like air quotes around feel for him. I think he's killing it. Like, okay, did he beat Jet? No, but like, look at how strong he's been through three rounds. Look at what he's doing to the likes of Aaron Plessinger and Jason Anderson and even Justin Cooper, who's riding extremely well. You could throw Chase Sexton in there this weekend. He's killing it. You know, like, not beating Jet, to me, should not be the bar for success, or I'm not even going to use the word failure, less than success right now, right? I understand what you're saying. Like, maybe you look back and say there was an opportunity there to win and I didn't take advantage of it, but I've been blown away, impressed by how good he's been thus far. Period. Like, full stop. Like, I've been wildly impressed. When you compare it to everyone else around those, you know, Hunter or Jet, he's been amazing.
Yeah, but when you talk to Hunter, you know, he's got that little chip on his shoulder. I mean,
yeah, I understand. I get it all the time. He gives it to me on air.
He wants to win this championship. And to win the championship, you have to beat a wounded Jet Lawrence. And he was in front of him, you know, and he couldn't get it done.
Gives me that chip on air. I feel it.
Yeah.
He's
impressive. I'm not trying to say he's not impressive. He's been damn impressive.
No, I just don't agree with his take of himself. That's all. Like,
okay.
Like, if he's not happy with his ride, like, he, you know, even I asked him about getting the red plate on the podium, he wasn't like thrilled about it, you know. Like, I think he should be really happy about that because it's a huge milestone. And then in the press conference he said, like, I would have been happier with the overall than the red plate, which is, that's all his prerogative by all means, right? Like, he's the one in the fight. I just think he's selling himself short a little bit. Like, it's okay to want more and also be really happy with how it's going. That's all I'm saying.
Weege, what do you think?
Yeah, it's always hard to judge I think we try to want them to think the way we think as like logical human beings, but you have to be a little unrealistic. And it's like everyone on the outside is just like, sorry, Hunter, you're amazing and you're great, but your brother is a freak of nature. And I think he can't allow himself to be like, the standard should be as good as him and the best I can do is second. Like, that's ridiculous. You're a professional athlete. So you have to almost expect these guys to have a little bit different standard than maybe they should be held to, like, if you were realistic. So good on him. Good on him for never relenting. I mean, this goes back to the amount of times are like, Chad Reed, why don't you just say James Stewart's better than you? Why won't you just say it? Say it. His best asset was never saying it, like never settling, never being happy with what should be a great accomplishment. Heck, even our buddy Phil Nicoletti, when he gets ninth and we say, good ride, Phil, what does he say? What, you don't think I can get ninth? It's this level. And JT, you're probably wrong. We're the same way.
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying I disagree with it. That's all.
Yes, but I expect them to be, we're looking at it from like pure science and logic, and they have to always tell themselves they should be better than they are every week, all the time.
I just look at it like he's a champion, and he had the lead. And he had a couple of seconds, and he lost the overall to a guy who was wounded, brother or not. And so, yeah, he's like, ah, shit. I think we should shut that one away.
I just think Jed is – that's a really tough thing to deal with for anybody. Like, and that's not fair. I get it. James Stewart, compare – I understand all that. But I get to look at it objectively. Hunter doesn't. You know, it's really hard, I think – to
That's
do that, nor would he want to.
That's
right?
The difference. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just would never want Hunter to, because I live this, not to the same extent, but for a long time in my own way, you're going to wake up one day and wish you had enjoyed your successes a little bit more instead of always wishing that it was better. If that makes sense, right? Like, he's doing phenomenally well. So allow yourself to enjoy that a little bit. It doesn't mean you can't keep striving to do better, but allow yourself a moment to be that you're leading the championship, right? That's all. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to say.
None of these guys are like that, though. Guys I've been around,
I understand,
not like that either. Yeah,
but I have hindsight now after racing for a very long time. So that's what I would tell them as an old person now.
Yeah.
I wish,
but you weren't like that when you were racing, right?
No, but I wish I wish I had allowed myself to be a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Look, I've been impressed with Hunter too, and he's been great. He's got the red plate, for reasons we will talk about. I definitely, you know, put him, it took him a long, it's not like the kid jumped into 250s and just lit it on fire. He got injured. He got hurt. He didn't win right away. He was the furthest thing from Jet, despite, you know, that TV graphic that we all laughed about a few years ago. And so I put him more in the category of an Aaron Plessinger or an Ivan Tedesco or a Zach Osborne, a solid little older guy. Osborne was obviously a lot older, but little older guy, solid guy that happens to win the 250s because it's his time, right? It's his time. He's on a factory bike and all of that. And he's proven me to be better than those guys that we just spoke about. I mean, Aaron is just now getting to a level, you know, that Hunter's already at or better. So,
well, the Lawrence thing is such a nature and nurture. I think it's so easy to just wrap it up and be like, Jet Lawrence is just a freaking nature talent, and that's what it all is. But you don't need to look much further outside of that to be like, no, it's a combination of this. When the other brother is this freaking good, you're like, it's not just talent. They've got a program or a mentality or a work or a strategy or a way of going about it that is pretty damn impressive too.
What about their bikes off the start, Weege? We'll talk about more about that later.
Yeah, no, that's up for debate. We'll have to see. Maybe we can settle that.
Justin Cooper might be my new favorite rider, just because for one of the few times in the last 20 years, a rider lost the lead and just said he got tired. Thank you, Justin Cooper. Thank you. Thank you. Like, he didn't get tight. He didn't battle the
lose
setup.
His rhythm.
He didn't lose the rhythm. He didn't battle the bike. No. He went as hard as he could, and he got tired, and he's just a little off of fitness. Thank you, Justin Cooper. Thank you. I mean, Weege and I laugh all the time. We do these Re-Raceables podcasts, and there is Jeff Stanton, Rick Johnson. So many greats are like, I got tired. They just tell Kit Palmer they got tired, you know, and it's fine. But somewhere around Ricky era, We lost that. And maybe because Ricky just never got tired. Maybe that was actually true with Ricky.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Justin Cooper rode great. 23 laps led JT. 3-3. He was happy about it. Two hole shots. He got tired, and he's something to work on. But good, you know, he's happy. Thank you, Justin Cooper.
It was great. It's an awesome ride, right? There are steps to this thing. You know, I think he's showing improvement. He started out on a track that he very rarely done well at. And that showed, and he's gotten better ever since. Starts are better, speed is better, pace is better. I think he probably realizes where he's lacking, right? You could argue that Hunter had been lacking that a little bit through two rounds. This weekend was certainly better, but the last 10 minutes at full, you know, winning pace on a 450 is something that most guys can't do. And that's, I think, where Justin will need to work on, right? And that's not a knock on him. That's for everybody. Like, that's probably once you got the speed, great, but hold that for 70 minutes on a race day. Like, that's, you know, there are not many people on the planet that can do that.
What about him admitting getting tired? Are you with me on that? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a good look to.
Oh, come on.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Why do people do that?
It's fine.
It is fine. But also, I think there's a feeling out there that. And I kind of subscribe to this is fitness is if you've been healthy, fitness is probably the one thing you have 100% control over. So I don't think guys are saying that they got tired because you can get in better shape. So I think he's working on it. But I would also counter that and say if he wanted to ride around and forth the whole day, he probably wouldn't have gotten tired, right? So if it's one or the other, then certainly take this route.
Well, certainly you learn, right? You learn. You never quite know until you get up.
Well, that's what I think. I think he probably was eating dinner Saturday night going, I can do this. I just need to be in better shape than that.
Yeah.
I wish we would talk about pace more. It gets talked about like fitness is just a gas tank that you can build. I think a lot of this is the speed he was going. He was going all out. He was not jogging. He was running.
Yeah.
And Hunter and Jet were jogging. And eventually, you can jog for 2 hours. You can sprint for 20 minutes.
Well, I think Hunter's getting more used to it, right? Look at Paula. Look at Hangtown.
Yeah.
He didn't have it at the end.
Yep.
He was way behind the lead at the end at those first two races. This weekend, he wasn't. So I just think it's an acclimation process. And it's not like, well, I need a whole offseason to get in better shape. I just think it's getting used to that pace, being able to hold it. Your body's going to respond to the ask, right? And it's going to become a little bit easier if you keep putting yourself in that position.
Well, awesome.
I mean, you could look at Hymus. Look at the Hymus leading a moto at Hangtown and leading a moto this week. He didn't get fitter in 1 week, right?
Well, that's what I was going to I was going to bring up. Like, also what happens too is when you're leading or when you're riding and you could have perfectly good pace and fitness, but say you almost have a big one or you hit some chuck hole or like something happens. And then you get tight for a second. You hang on to the bike real quick. You have that jolt of energy, and now that you know wears you down. Also, like you have to also have a great race and no close calls. You don't hit a lapper. You don't go sideways. You kind of put your wheels right every single spot. Because if you don't, then that takes a lot of energy out of you too. You don't even crash, but that takes like a you know what I mean, out of you. So you need to have pace and all of that, but you also need to have sort of a error free moto. Because you've seen two guys say, like, oh, I almost had a big one, you know, and then it goes south from there. So they would have been fine without that almost big one. So you got to kind of have both. You got to have everything working.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not just a gas tank. It's multiple variables leading to you being more tired than the other. Either you're sprinting harder, you're not as comfortable, you made a mistake, you're nervous because you've never led or you've never won before. Like, it's not just a power meter.
I think it's also, you know, I try to touch on this during the broadcast because I really sensed it and kind of I believed in it, obviously. But he really tried to kind of check out there and get away.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you up the effort level, right? You like if you look back on races from Chad Reed era, he would always say like I put in like a splurge of energy there, and that's you're kind of going like if you're looking at a tachometer, you're going into the red line, right? Like you can't hold that effort level. It's like full sprint laps. That takes a toll. So when he does that for multiple laps, three, four laps in a row, if he can't break everyone and get out and then recover, that's going to take a toll later. And I think that's what we saw show up. So when Hunter and Jet get to him, he doesn't really have anything left to fight with because he put out everything he had, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes earlier. And that's why you're seeing like lack of fight there later. It's like, ah, I gave my best shot. That was the move. And if they were able to hold it and bring it back in, I don't really have anything left here.
That track 2 second moto was hammered. Oh, it looked great in the morning and everything else, but dude, second moto, that was GH 430. You know, it was not easy out there. So thanks, Justin Cooper. Thank you. Thanks. 23 laps led, 3-3. Said he got tired. Awesome. Max's Tires, by the way, thank you to the folks at Max's Tires. Fast Freddy Norin out there, much to Weege's dismay, with Max's Tires just crushing it out there. Freddy, again, another good weekend. And please check out Max's.com for more information. We're going to give a set of tires away for somebody on this review pod. That's what we're going to do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm going to do this. If you want a set of Max's Tires just like Fast Freddy Norin, contest at pulpmxshow.com. Contest at pulpmxshow.com. And Weege, what email number do we pick for the winner?
Like the amount of emails that come in, we pick one of them that we got?
Yeah, give me a number of what email.
22.
Okay, all right.
Freddie Norton.
All right, we'll do. Contest at pulpmxshow.com to win a pair of tires. Barsha, fourth. Do you guys think it's a coincidence that we were out doing motos at GH on Tuesday and he has a season best overall?
Well, I want to go somewhere with this. Where? What do you think you helped?
What are those? What do they put in front of those greyhounds?
At the rabbit.
The rabbit.
Yeah, it's not a real one. It's a fake one, right?
So you think that you, the 20 seconds a lap slower that you were probably going than Justin Barsha was the rabbit he needed to turn this around?
You tell me.
I am telling you.
I mean, nobody knows, really.
Okay, I will tell you. Absolutely.
Nobody knows for sure, but he was able to ride this week for the first time. I mentioned this a few times. He hurt his knee somewhere around Salt Lake, and this was his first week riding during the week. And who knew? If you ride during the week, JT, you can do better. Who knew?
It does help.
Yeah. So
I figured he just fired more people on the team or something.
great start for him in first moto. Great start. And then him and AP went at it pretty much all day, I think. They were around each other a lot.
About AP's day? Not great.
Oh, we're getting to that.
Okay. Sorry.
Anything else on Barsha? Weege? Fourth overall?
Yeah, it's like Baker's Factory. This is just Dunge and Marv and Anderson just riding together, pushing each other. That was you and Barsha.
He came underneath me at Talladega. I didn't know he was coming, and he came under. First of all, earlier in the day, I went over to see him and everybody, Will and Ollie and everybody. Barsha looked at me like he had zero idea I could ever ride a dirt bike. Like the shock on his face, just he looked like he saw an alien, or you know, like I had four eyes. I don't think he knew I rode dirt bikes. But then later on, yeah, it's so, like, you look at Barsha, and he got fourth overall, but whatever. He's a 5-10 guy, right, for the most part this year. I mean, I'm out on the track, and it's just, he's so fast, dude. He is so fast. It's unbelievable. Like, coming down the big hill, and I'm going on the outside, and he goes right by me, jumps into the turn, touches down once, shoots himself to the next left, bounces off that, and he's gone. Like, it's just, you never appreciate. I guess if you're in Southern California and you ride with these guys, you see these guys there all the time, you can appreciate the speed of these dirt bike riders. But, yeah, it's phenomenal.
I lived it every day, like, trying to be my best and just getting my head kicked in. I'm just like, I can never go that fast. And I'm still getting, like, 10th.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're still a pro, bro.
I used to ride with Troy Adams a lot when he was an H&A. So I rode Troy, I don't know, 20 times. You know, we rode a lot together. Yeah. And, like, Troy Adams was getting lapped. And he's unbelievable.
I remember this conversation. We rode at, what was that track, south of Vegas? Year together.
Yeah, that's right. I took you there. Sandy Valley.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's just, it's hard to really know. That's why I tell people all the time, you watch like privateer practice at Supercross, and I'm like, you know, if you don't have any context, I'm like, that guy that you're watching, take him to your local track, and he will smash everyone that you know.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know what you're watching. You know, it's just hard to really put into words.
Well, Barsha rode pretty well, and fourth overall for him. So, all right. Weege, it's time.
Oh.
What the fuck? What the hell? Well, how do you explain this?
Can we talk about both KTM guys together?
I mean, we can, sure. Sure, I guess.
I think it's not unrelated. They literally went 1-2 in the previous race.
This is going to help him. He's going to trust the bike. This is going to give him so much confidence. This is going to set him up.
I saw Ian Harrison. This will sum this up. I saw Ian Harrison Saturday morning. Okay. And I'm like, hey, did you do any testing this week? And he's like, no, we're good. And I'm like, is this the first week all year that you did not need to test? And he said, you know what? I think it is. So that's where we were.
Yep.
Saturday morning. That's where we were.
Yep.
And now this is probably, I wouldn't say it's their deepest, darkest, because there's been some really bad moments throughout this process, but this is not good. I don't know what happened in the first moto. The second moto, at least, I think there was a little silver lining, because that was Chase Sexton saying, I am not settling for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ride through you guys. I mean, I've not seen him treat Jet and Hunter or anybody like that, like he did at the opening laps of that moto. It was back to, like we saw second moto last week, it was get out of the way, I'm coming through. I haven't seen him ride like that. So that was encouraging. The overall result was terrible. That's a tiny silver lining. I don't think there's a single fan on the fence that day that thought they were not even going to see Chase Sexton get on a podium in either moto.
No. And no. Like, I thought he pushed that move a little early. I mean, I think he thought there was a berm there, right, on the outside. They kind of took it down. But he'd ridden the track multiple laps before that. But I think he thought he could bounce off that little ridge that was there. But it was a little early for that move. I don't think Hunter was stoked on it, but it's not like Chase meant to do that. But yeah,
no, JT, Hunter was fine with it, actually.
Yeah, JT, we're just back to, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah. What happened to Hangtown?
Yeah, it wasn't, I don't think it was the follow-through that he was necessarily looking for. That's for damn sure.
No.
The second moto wasn't as concerning for me as the first moto, kind of getting dropped a little bit. That was much more concerning for me than the second one. The second one, he was at least going for it. You know, the crash, whatever, he was at least sending it. The first one, when he's sitting there, and you know, like, Jet's right in front of him, right? And I don't know on television how well you can see it, but I was watching the same camera as everybody else was, but you couldn't really tell all the time. But Chase was just a few seconds behind Jet for a lot of the first half of the moto. And then in his mind, he's got to know, like, Jet, I got to close it. I need to pass him right now. Like, I can't. And he couldn't do it. He could not do it. And then he ended up crashing. So that, to me, was pretty, had to be damaging psychologically. I don't know. Wasn't the race he was looking for. I don't know how else you can, you know, put it than that.
I talked to Keir up in the tower in the second moto. He left after the crash in moto one, just left. and second moto, I'm like, as he was ripping through the pack, and I honestly thought he was going to get Hunter and take off, I said, what'd you guys change? And he's like, not much. I said, what do you mean? Like, I don't know. I guess I pushed him a little bit. He goes, gearing. We just do gearing. I'm like, oh, and you yelled at him? And he goes, yeah. Okay, gearing, and you yelled at him. That was what the changes were. So, I don't know, man. And AP said he doesn't like this track, but last year he got second. But it's not one of his favorite tracks.
Yeah, he just didn't look. He didn't look great. I watched him a lot, he just didn't look like he was feeling it.
Well, and then the cowboy gear also didn't look great either. Where do you stand, Weege, on theme gears? I'm out on theme gears. I just don't like it. From Travis Pastrana's lumberjack shit to cat gear, I'm out.
I don't think it was executed well, but I think it was such a cool idea that I'm willing to be okay with it.
Okay. No, I don't want tuxedo gear. I don't want cowboy gear. You race motocross. That's what you do. That's it. I understand, like, if you think differently than that, that's fine, but I'm out.
I don't know what happened. It's so weird that it looked like finally this long journey is over and they've solved the problem, and then we're back to as right back, like deeper in the hole than almost the majority of the season in 1 week.
And it's not like Lakewood is like some drastically different surface than Hangtown. And like we went to, like we had a massive mudder, or we went to a deep sand track, or, you know, just things that could totally throw things up in the blender. Let me ask this.
Hey, JT, is there a world where Sexton tried to get Cooper really early, like as soon as he got Hunter? Is there a world where Sexton does make the pass on Cooper early and then just wins Moto 2? And then you're like, oh, first Moto wasn't great. He's fine. Is it?
Yeah, certainly possible. Yep.
So much, or especially early in a championship, you have such a small sample size. But there's also a world where one of those saves that he had last week, he crashes.
Yeah.
And then he gets fifth, and this epic Moto never happens. So, like, there's so you're down to inches of variance here.
Like, if he
that's
goes,
why I, that's why I'm much more worried about the first Moto than the second.
If he goes 6-1, we're just like, oh, okay, he's got to he's got to tighten it up a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it could have happened. It could have happened.
I think Jason Anderson qualified well. Ran up front in Moto 2 for a little bit. Ran up front in Moto 1 too. Then he went down, right? He was like fourth or fifth. He went down.
Yeah, right after Sexton did.
Yep. So seventh overall for Anderson. Malcolm went 7-7 for eighth. He said that's the wrong way. It's got to go the wrong way. Malcolm's been good though. That's good. I think like he beat Dylan. Dylan had bike problems.
All right. Do you think he feels like it's been good?
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
He's really happy with everything. He also said
Dylan thinks.
He also said Malcolm said that he said it a few times in my post race interview. He. Last time he rode here, he was like, oh, I got to go down this hill and make a right. Oh, no, I don't. Oh, it's all different. Like, I said, yeah, layouts change in 10 years, man. So he was like, yeah, I had to really get used to the new layout. 10 years ago, it was different. Imagine that. Dylan had bike problems in Moto 1, cutting out or something.
Yeah, his engine blew up, I think.
Yeah, he was looking around and, yep, not great for Dylan. 8-9 on the day. Craig, 9-10. I didn't really get a chance to talk to Christian at all.
Can we talk about Jet forgetting to put it in first gear on the start? Because that was hilarious to me.
Sure, yeah.
Well, you didn't watch broadcast, but so the whole question I asked was all weekend, right? Because this track, they had, you know, the factory teams have so many more capabilities than I ever had, but I had to run first gear at this track for the start. Like, I just had to. Well, these guys can get away with a lot more. They can change transmissions. They can do lots of things to get away with second if they really want to, but it's still a question. What do they want to do? How do they want to approach it? Well, the final plan was they're going to go first gear, right? And that's after testing and riding and all the things that they can do, practice and everything at elevation. Well, then Jet forgets and puts it in second gear and gets a bad start, and Honda guys are just like full facepalm.
Yeah.
They're just like, come on, bro. And then, Sakamoto, he remembered. But it's just like, the guy's so freaking good.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then he just does something like that. And you're just like, oh, my gosh.
I was just talking. Damn it. Someone told me they were doing second gear starts, and it worked good. And then they did another one in the next moto, and it's totally terrible. Did you listen to my post-race podcast? I don't know if you did.
Yeah, but I don't remember hearing that.
Okay, maybe it was something else. I don't know. Somebody was like, I did a second gear start. It was pretty good. Then I did a second gear start for the next moto. It was terrible.
That leans into your topic. You're going to cover at a later date,
let's cover it now. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There is more variance than we've been led to believe, according to one team manager.
Yeah. So
it's on the rider.
Like, listen, I totally think the Honda's got something going on with starts. I've said that for a while. I was a little worried at times because it wasn't always money, but then come to find out if the grate's a little moist, if the dirt in front of it's a little different, things change. But I long believe, JT, that Honda's got, you know, some really good mapping and start RPMs and mapping and clutch and everything figured out, you know, to
me. I don't think many people could argue that.
So I also have been anti grates, anti RPM dashboards, anti everything. Like it's ridiculous. And so Lars at Honda is not happy with me saying that anyone can get a start. And I'm like, yeah, I can get a start on that thing. And then that led into, like, we're going to do a challenge. And I'm going to get a factory bike, and I'm going to do starts. And we haven't quite figured out if it's versus Kiefer or versus Lars or versus Hunter.
Can you help Joe? If this is the case, can you get Joe some help?
Yeah. Well, that led into another discussion, actually. Funny you say that. And so Kennard was there, and I mean, I was stoking the fire, as I tend to do.
No, no way.
And I'm just like, dump the clutch. There we go. And like, I'm like, I could do that all day long. And then, Weege, you're on my side a little bit, Weege, and Lars is wanting to prove us wrong.
No, I'm in a completely different zone, because Lars is like, it's not like if he's like, but if I gave you our bike, you wouldn't be able to start as good as our guys. I'm like, no. We're talking about when you take the top 1% of riders.
Yeah.
And I'm apples to oranges. I can't go through the same rutted corner the same 50 times. I will do it 50 different ways 50 times. Take me out. I don't count. We're just talking about Jason Anderson versus Jet Lawrence off the start every week. That's your competition. If you have it dialed in better than he does, you'll beat him every time. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but then
me against
no, then Jet. But then it led into that. Yes, but
it did. And I'm like, that's not the point I'm making. That when you say anybody can get a start, you mean any of the top dudes.
Yes.
Not me.
They have something going on, but yes. It did lead into like me on a factory bike doing starts versus a person on a production bike doing starts.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
And then Lars wants to set that up. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could be you against Lars.
Yes, it might be.
This is great. but then Lars leaked. He should not have said this. He had the argument won, and then at the very end, he blew it. He showed his hand, and he said, well, there was one time where I was pulling starts on Sexton.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the video. He sent me a video one time. They were at Red Bud before the designations test at Red Bud. He got on the bike and was pulling starts against Sexton. And Lars is a great rider.
Point.
He's a great rider. But
yes.
Still, come on.
Yeah.
All right. So Racer X Films. Look for this. I just think that, you know, it all that stuff makes it so much easier to get a start than in JT's day. You know, you had body English with a rut and a popping out of the body English, popping out of the rut, I should say, and you got to use your body. You got RPMs. Now you got a clutch. Now you got to feed the power. Like it took way more skill than it does now. And if you have great technicians, great data, great, you know, ECUs, and a rider that can pay attention and not put it in second gear when he's supposed to put it in first, you can get starts, you know? Joe's the same way. They've been getting on Joe because I guess he's been pulling his clutch in at 30-second board. And they're like, no, don't do that. The clutch gets hot. Like that.
He's putting in a gear when the board goes up?
Yes.
Wow.
And they're like, don't do that. And then literally he did it the next moto. Like they're just like, you know, what are you doing?
So, why would you do that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But they think that that's got something to do with it. So, all right. Freddie Norin, Weege, go ahead. 11th.
Yeah, he's been great all year, as we expected him to be, and as he was going to be covered before I was rudely cut off in our previous show, before I was able to get to him. He was 8th in the points last year. So why would he not be basically, what did he get, like 9, 10? Or like, wait, 10, 9, 11 in the first 3 races-ish? Why would he not be that?
Okay.
As expected.
Poor Jericho, though. The wind came and took all of their easy ups and just mangled them.
Oh, a lot of easy ups went down.
Yeah, AEO yes. too, right?
Well, I was willing to actually hang out. I went to dinner with the Motorsport crew on Friday night. Mathis, you no-showed. JT no-showed. And our buddy Phil Nicoletti. I don't know what his excuse was, but he no-showed as well. I hung out with the guy. You guys all have business arrangements with this company. I do not, but I'm a man of my word.
That's a great point. I tried to change my
style. I wasn't originally invited. So it's
you're not, but I did tell you on Wednesday or something. I'm like, my guy, I have two friends named Steve and Phil who are going to bone me on this for sure. So I was looking for reinforcements. You were not able to make it. Phil, I don't know what his excuse was. He wasn't even in Colorado for some reason. But I went, and then at about 9 o'clock, they get a phone call, and they're like, we have to go back to the track. Because their stuff got destroyed, and apparently they were not alone.
Oh, no way, really? 9? Jeez.
Yeah, it's 9:30 that stuff got. Many, many teams had their tents destroyed with wind.
Justin Hill, 12th. I was talking to somebody, a privateer, about him. And first of all, who knew Justin Hill was doing all the outdoors with Ted Tedder? I guess he is. I guess they're in.
What?
Yeah.
He's going to High Point?
I guess.
Okay.
I didn't speak to the men or Ted, but that's what I gather.
Yeah.
SMX, man. And then also, I was talking to a privateer who said, they shall go nameless, but they do ride a Yamaha. And they said, at almost every moto this year, he either goes, buy this rider, you know, like he's got a, like he shot out of a cannon. Or he said, sometimes he looks like he's barely trying, and this rider gets him right back. He goes, I can't figure it out. I don't know what's going on with him in the motos, but he's either balls fast or balls slow. Which I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess like it's sort of
suits, Justin Hill.
Yeah, it sort of suits Justin Hill, right? So yeah,
I didn't realize he was so good. Steve, you're saying he blew by Plessinger at one point?
He passed Plessinger at some point, and then AP got him back and pulled away. And I was just like, what is going on? And then I don't know. Then he dropped back way back. I don't know what happened. But again, but like you guys on the line, like Justin Hill passing Aaron Plessinger outdoors. I mean, sure, right? Like, yeah. I mean, he could do it. Like,
he's a tough one to figure out.
Yes. He qualified ninth. Like, he was, you know, top 10 overall.
Skill and speed have never been in doubt.
Welton 13th, Harlan 14th. Harlan was 20 seconds back of Welton in Moto 2 and was all over the finish and said he would have parked them. Welton said no, he wouldn't have. So they were going at it a little bit. But good rides for those guys, 13th and 14th. Roman Pep, Lacurcio. Jerry was up there in Moto 1 for a while. Then he hurt his shoulder. Shane McElrath, anyone? JT, 18th overall.
I didn't see him much. I saw he got a really good start in the second moto.
Yeah,
I think
first moto. No, first moto. First moto.
Okay, first moto. Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, I didn't really see much past that.
It's not going well. It's not working. Cullen Park, bad day for Cullen Park. Chiz too. Chiz didn't do very well. I was talking to Brooks before the moto, mostly Weege about re-raceables. 05 Glen Helen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We got deep into that. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I would have liked to have been part of that combo.
Yeah, Larry was like, sometimes we would have talks with Tony and Mike, and I would tell them things, and they would agree, and they would say yes, and they would do the complete opposite. So, I think it was a little.
I'll tell you what, nothing really endorses how crazy mini dad Tony was than Larry Brooks, who is known for a guy to push the envelope to the very edge of the table. Even he was like, I didn't mean that far.
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, that's kind of Larry's rep as team managers go. Yeah. In those days, I think Larry's mellowed a bit, but he would take an inch. You know, if you give him an inch, you take a mile. But Tony apparently would take that.
Yep. Wow. Max Miller was up there both motos, I think. I was surprised to see he went 19-22 because I felt like he was higher 14-15 both motos. A-Rod, Henry Miller. Derek Kelly crashed in the first moto while he was up there. Hope he's all right. Yeah. Do we know?
Is he? I don't know.
No. Yeah, JT.
I heard he crashed pretty bad. That's all I know.
Yeah,
no, I did too. I saw him up there and then not there.
I heard it was bad too as well. So, all right, 450s. Can we talk about the points real quick here? Because Sexton had the lead. I don't know if you guys remember that. Sexton had the points lead, and then now he is six back. And I don't know if you guys remember, but Jet was really struggling. He didn't score any points in the first moto, and then he was sixth in the points. And then now he is only 16 back. So I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but it now looks like, to me, Jet Lawrence's title again. Not that it wasn't, but I really thought we'd have Unadilla until he got back into the mix. You know?
I don't think the points are relevant. Okay. I think it's more based on the individual variance. You know, what's the bigger deal? The math and the points, or Sexton having an amazing weekend and a bad weekend? The points will just be what they are. It's more on what are we going to get week to week, and we cannot figure this out. Like,
no.
Sexton went from greatest ride ever to not on the podium. That has a much bigger impact than math.
No, you mean they're not just going to go 1-2-1-2 the rest of the way?
Precisely. Like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe we're 6 days away from Sexton going 1-1 again.
Yeah. No, you're right.
How does that shake up the points?
No, you're right. You're right. It's just like Jet's in this thing a lot more than,
I was never worried. Like, math doesn't matter in a two-moto format this early in the year. You can make up 20 points in a weekend pretty easy.
All right. Thank you to the folks at Renthal and Maxxis, of course. And motorsport.com. Speaking of that, Bryce and everybody at motorsport.com. Weege, did they pay for dinner?
I had a perfect weekend. I spent not $1 on food and drink. It was amazing.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, honestly, it was, I don't know if I've ever patted myself on the back harder.
Wow. Okay. Listen, I appreciate the media meals each week. It's nice. It's a nice thing to do. They bring it in for the media. You know, Sean Brennan has helped out here and there as well over the season. But the motocross guys, it's every week. They provide the media with lunch. And I think back to, like, not that long ago where in supercross and motocross, we got nothing. Nothing! And now we get something. So it's awesome. However, I go over this week for the media meal. I hear lunch is served. And there's just a box with a baked potato. And I'm looking for, like, because, you know, you guys do it. Like, there'll be baked potatoes, but then there'll be, like, barbecue or,
yeah,
you know, mac and cheese or, you know, that type of, and there's nothing.
But then you said there was chicken also?
There was, like, three slices of chicken with the baked potato. Like, not three pieces. Three, like, we're talking 2-inch pieces of chicken. Not like a chicken breast. No. Like, just lightly shredded chicken. I don't know. Again, I found it super odd to serve a baked potato for lunch. Now, I told Pookie that. She's like, that sounds great. So, there we go. But,
really?
Listen, there's a gentleman. He films for a couple of top riders. He's also speaks French. Likes the Yankees. Not happy. Not happy with the baked potato.
Oh, not happy with the baked potato?
Oh, no. No. Very, very, okay. Very angry. I don't know, man.
I have communication with this man. I will talk to him about this.
Ask him what he thought about it because...
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad to.
A baked potato? JT's the wrong one to ask because he would literally probably just eat the skin and everything because it's pretty healthy. But
I don't really subscribe to your complaining so much either. So
no, it's not complaining. Yeah. It's
in
just,
general.
It's,
oh, no, it no, is a lot of complaining.
No, it's wonderment.
It absolutely is.
It's wonderment.
No, it's just the press box food, it's the meals. It's there's a lot.
What? Okay. What about this gentleman that shall go nameless? Also wondering what was going on.
Well, I don't have the experience with gentlemen that I have with you, and there's certainly a pattern because anybody that comes by with any influence, you say, "Hey, a couple of things," and you're just like, "Oh God, here we go."
Well, listen, I appreciate it. If anyone's listening to this,
do you?
I appreciate the meals. Yes, I appreciate the lunch every single week. I absolutely do. But can we never have a baked potato again, especially like a hot baked potato on a?
What do you want? It cold?
No, but just like a hot day, you got a hot lunch, like with a baked potato. Yeah, just, you know. I don't know, man.
That's
cool. We'll have to serve cold pizza next time because it'll be hot.
Thanks to the folks at Motorsport. I wish I could have gone. I tried to change my flight. You know that. It didn't work out. I did want to grab some dinner with the Motorsport guys. OEM and aftermarket parts. Motorsport.com. Weege is orders from there exclusively. And pours the oil in his bike and looks through the site windows. Motorsport.com. Please check them out. Dedicated team of gear has a great return policy as well. I told you about Fly Racing, too. Chance Hymus wearing Fly Racing, winning a moto, vaults himself into this week-to-week podium talk. RJ Hampshire winning a championship with Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly. Thank you to those guys for all that they do. Get at your local dealer or motorsport.com. Weege and Onyx Maps.
Yeah, Onyx Maps. We'll give you a discount. Just type in Racer X, all lowercase, all one word, Racer X, and you can try it for 7 days, I believe, for free, and you'll find places to ride, trails for dirt bikes, mountain bikes, side-by-sides, specific trails, if you're looking for single track, or maybe you're an adventure rider, or whatever it might be, public and private land, go to onxmaps.com, or onx, that's the letter X, off-road, onx off-road in the App Store. And I also want to shout out, Steve, we are still in the midst of our subscriber giveaway of an intense...
Oh, we're still doing it.
Taser MX? Okay. Is that what they call these things?
Yeah, and I made a video for Racer X, and then I read the comments, and they were just shitting on me. Everyone shit on me, and this is why you can't do things like this.
No, sorry. Although, that's the world we live in. I don't know. Whatever transgressions you made in the past, it's hard to narrow it down. It's been like 500,000, but people keep receipts.
Yeah, it was well received. The bike is cool, though. This is one of those e-assist mountain bikes. They'll also give you some Thor mountain bike gear. All you got to do is subscribe to the mag, and one lucky winner will get this really cool mountain bike.
This bike's got the EP8 motor, which is great. A big improvement from those guys for the motor. And then also it comes with Olin stuff, and Olin stuff is really good. So it's got high-end components on it. Yep. Get it done, everybody.
E-bike life. Everybody, yep. Get in on it.
Yep.
Subscribe to the mag.
And so seriously, the baked potato, like...
Yeah. I did see you, and I did laugh. I'm like, oh, you got lunch in that thing? And he's like, it's a potato, and we laughed.
Okay, thank you.
We did.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, 250 class. Hayden Deegan, Tom Vial. Great race. Vial's second moto, not so good, fell, which kind of sucks because I was looking forward to another great moto with that. Hayden was a little PO'd at Tom. Afterwards of the race, I didn't see anything that wrong with Tom's attempt there. But Hayden went.
I mean, this has been an ongoing thing, though.
But did you?
Hayden is not a Tom Vial fan at all.
Okay, but wouldn't he be not a fan of anyone who was as fast as him or is giving him as much trouble?
I don't know, man. I'm just telling you. I didn't notice it until Salt Lake.
Yep.
But he is not a fan.
I feel like Hayden.
Do what you want.
I feel like Hayden would make an enemy, quote unquote, out of anyone that's racing him for a championship. Could be anybody.
Yeah. I mean, this is why part of the reason people are probably mad at your mountain bike promo is because you have this rant about Deegan pumping himself up on being the American on the podium, which was an obvious shot against Hunter Lawrence. And why is he taking a shot at Hunter Lawrence last year? Because he's battling Hunter Lawrence for race wins and a title. It's just what they do. Like, it's WWE. Personally, I think it's awesome and amazing and exciting. I don't have a problem with it, but it's totally predictable. Like,
did he take shots at McAdoo this year? Because I missed him if he did.
Tom's probably coming.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we got there. I mean, he took shots at, Kitchen. Vial, like, I think it's just what he does. He spent the offseason making to drop that Shimoda, because I think Shimoda, by the, I don't know if you guys know this, but by the end of the year last year, Shimoda looked like maybe a contender.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the beginning, but the end.
Yeah.
So I feel like Deegan spent the offseason kind of discrediting Shimoda as much as he could, because that looked like the target. Maybe Jimenez will be next if it keeps up for a few more weeks. I just think it's like this is what he – nothing to do with Vial personally, I don't think. I think it's just what the Deegans do. We create rivalries.
He gave Jimenez a ton of credit on the podium.
He did, and I was surprised to hear that. But there were also races where he gave it to Vial, but I feel like if it persists, eventually – And I think they just think at a completely different level than we're used to. So I'm not even going to hold it against them, but I do think it's the way they do it.
Like
he's not a fan of Vial. For whatever motivations there might lie, publicly, privately, fake, real, whatever is going on, there's not a lot of love lost there right now.
I remember randomly at a press day last year, Deegan's like, yeah, people are like, you know, I lost a red plate, but, you know, Tom Vial, it's his first year, and he's learning the tracks, and everybody talks about it. He has to learn the tracks every week. Well, I have to learn the tracks every week, too. And I'm just like, dude, they're just narrative. They're just setting the narrative every week. And if Vial was getting seventh every week, they probably wouldn't even mention him. But he's the guy they're battling, and they're just masters of the narrative, which,
yeah,
I don't know. We've got a lot of cardboard and vanilla and guys that didn't care about that for a long time, so I don't want to all of a sudden start bashing it when we get it.
Yeah. Kid won, rode great, 1-2 on the day.
Oh, he was also very adamant that there was not pressure last week from Vial, which probably goes back to your JT. Like, he's not giving Vial that nod.
No. He didn't want to hear any of that last week. And he was very displeased with Vial trying to make a move on the last lap this weekend. I don't know.
Did you see anything wrong with the move, though?
No.
Okay.
No, there was nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
I think I get a little bit more insight to it because I spend a lot of time around him before the cameras get to him. So I kind of see the things, the kind of gestures and words said, and he's not a fan.
I will say, just on the record, that in the press conference, I asked Hayden about the move from Vial, and it's fine. I would have done the same thing if I was in second. So at least there he had said that particular move is fine. He didn't seem pumped about it on the podium.
Yeah.
Nope.
But, Steve, this goes back to your point. You don't know what you're getting from Deegan every single interview. You don't know.
I don't know. I talked to somebody close to the situation at Hangtown, and they're like, dude, the danger zone stuff and the out for blood, that's just all, like, made up. That's not him. he's not that way. And I'm like, okay, all right. Like, they're like, it's all a script. You know what? They didn't say the word script. Sorry, I don't put the words because, you know, what we're saying is people listen. But it's all part of the thing. So
yeah, and that's my point. We're not used to writers operating on that level of I have a persona or a brand or image I'm going for.
First of all, Weege, you love wrestling, though, so you do love this. Yes, you are a fan of wrestling.
I am, and it's not just a wrestling thing. It's just like the amount of times I've heard people complain that the writers don't have personality in the podium, I can't go back and be a hypocrite, and when someone makes sure every time they say something it's controversial, I complain about it.
I just want them to be themselves. That's all I want.
But what you put out there as your quote-unquote persona or whatever, that's what you are. That's how everybody thinks of you. That's how they love you, because what else is there? If that's all you're ever showing anyone, you know, people behind the scenes can say, oh, that's not really him. Well, guess what? Nobody sees any of that. This is all they do see. So this is what you're going to be known as, and this is what you become, good or bad. But
I don't think they're saying it to correct it and be like, I think they're just saying factually he's not like that. I don't think they're saying don't judge him on that. I think the Deegans are fine. Judge him on the podium speeches. They're doing it on purpose. I think they're totally fine with that.
Well, listen, he's
riding incredibly well.
He's riding great.
Yes,
and
he is.
He's won all three races to start, and he's got a 20. How big of a lead? What is it? 23 point lead. Wow. So yeah, almost a moto already. So
Hymus is tied with Vial.
Yeah,
and then Kitchen is one back.
Yeah. So good job for Hayden, and Tom was going for it. It was great to watch. That's going to be spicy. Like, I don't know if Kitchen can get back up in there. I mean, he won a moto at this track before. He didn't have a good day. Second moto, he crashed. I don't know if those two are going to break away, but I wouldn't be surprised, JT, to see those two break away.
Yeah, but you say that, and Deegan's 23 points ahead.
No, I just mean more like, yeah, breaking away as far as, like, we're going to start
like
seeing
they're the top two?
Yeah, they're going to start grabbing one and twos a lot.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm just thinking kind of big picture. Like, we all – it feels, right, feels like it's a battle between those two for the title right now. But then you look up, and BL's not even second technically in points. You know, like, it's crazy to me because Deegan is sneakily getting away here, right? If Deegan wins next weekend, he's going to be a moto up already or more. You know, and it doesn't feel like he's absolutely dominated. He's won all three, but it feels like there's been a lot of close racing that's gone on, and yet the points are slowly but steadily getting out of hand here.
Like Doug Henry, Hayden's outdoor stuff, he steps it up, man. He's really, really good outdoors. Really, really good outdoors.
You gotta let this go, man.
I'm just saying. He's really, really good.
I know what you're saying. It's just wrong. Like, I can say that the sun is purple, but that's also wrong.
Chance Hymus. This is awesome. Really cool story. I mean, he's been in the mix all. Weege, you mentioned on the broadcast, first qualifier of the year. He was fastest. So it's really literally started as JT. You talked about the diet changes and everything else, and yeah, this stuff's really working. I talked to Burner this weekend up on the tower a little bit about it, and holy shit, man, like this is podiums for Hymus, a moto win this year, and it's not too scary to say that, you know, next year he goes for the championship.
You were worried.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I think it was fair.
Yeah,
I think that was fair to worry. I'm not saying that derogatively, but you're good now?
Yeah, you just can't be a factory Honda 250 rider and do what he was doing. But yes, absolutely. He's already, like, God forbid he hurts himself tomorrow. He's already, you know, been like, yeah, he's our guy.
Well, he's staying there. Yeah. He's
like,
definitely staying there.
No, I'm just saying, like no worries, like, whatever, if he gets injured, which our sport is
dangerous. Well, I think he was a benefactor of, they looked at the landscape, they like him, they like his family. So it's an easy decision to keep him, but doing their job, they have to look around at the landscape and say, okay, is anyone available that we can upgrade here? And there wasn't, so it makes it doubly easy to keep him.
Yeah.
Now it's a no-brainer. But then, you know, I think, you know, and we don't talk about this a lot, but like being easy to work with, having, you know, being a great person, like
fitting in with
being
the Lawrences,
a team player,
fitting
yeah,
in with the Lawrences.
Those things
right?
matter when everything is up in the air, right? If it's 50-50 and it could go either way, those things matter, right? And you don't think it always does, and sometimes it doesn't. You know, the riding can overtake any of those things, but I think it helped him here. I think, you know, that when people want you around on your team and it's not a shoo-in that you're going to stay, I think it matters.
Weege, and he led laps there last year, so it's a good track for him, Hymus. And, yeah, this is a cool story.
He did say that this track, he did tell me this track is probably the most like, and JT, you mentioned this on the broadcast because you live there now, most like Idaho. But the first two rounds prove it.
Yeah.
This is just a thing now.
This isn't a Southwick regular.
No, he's
better. And then maybe this made him even a little bit better, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Both can be true.
You could pencil him in for this level, you know, for the most part.
Remember,
I think all year.
Remember, he led High Point last year too, right? So that could be another one where he's really strong. Like, he was incredibly fast last year at High Point. He led, set the fastest lap, and I think he got fourth in the moto. But that was kind of the breakout ride last year, and then he got hurt right after.
JT, I know you've talked to Chris Hymus, his dad. We had him on the Pulp Show last year. Weege, have you ever talked to Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really good guy. Like, not crazy.
Great family.
Yeah, not crazy mini dad at all. Really good dude.
No, owns a Honda dealership in Pocatello, Idaho. Yeah. You know, family's been in this sport forever. Brothers all raced.
Yeah.
They're as core moto generationally as it gets.
Vial third overall, 2-4 on the day. As I said, crashed second moto. We got a Joe Shimoda sighting, Weege. It's taken six motos, but that second moto was good. He was fastest guy on the track, I think, for a couple of laps. Joe Shimoda was good, second moto.
Yeah, and he was definitely coming after Deegan there at the end.
Yep.
It is crazy that the 250 class is always so deep and wide open, and then it's crazy when you start quickly narrowing it down. I mean, I think after the first couple motos, it was like it's Deegan, Kitchen, Vial, Hymus also, and then a big gap to everyone else. And then when you start saying that, you're like, oh, so that means a guy like Shimoda is just a non-factor? That seems crazy. And then it quickly reminds you of like, no, he should be able to be right in there with those guys. I don't know. We've analyzed the Shimoda thing to death. I don't know what side I'm on.
I got an in-depth answer from him at Denver. In-depth.
Joe himself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I said, Joe, listen, you know, the knock on you is you don't ride as well in the beginning, and you let too many points build up before you start winning and start doing better, and how do we fix that? And you're aware of this, and he just said, I ride the same all the time. And we moved on. Yeah, so.
So that's the answer?
Yeah, that's it. I got it. I broke the code.
I mean, I've heard everything. Every theory is possible. I don't know what to believe.
And we talk to everyone, so I believe this.
I do. But I'm just saying, like, for example, you could just be like, oh, the problem is completely Joe. When the pressure's on at the beginning of the year, he chokes. And then when the pressure's off, he's better. But then there's also arguments of, like, his riding style is totally different. And if you just roll the Jet and Hunter bike that's dominated the motocross series the last 3 years under him, it doesn't work, and it's going to take a little while to figure it out. And you don't want to hear that.
No, because it was the same thing on Pro Series Kawasaki every season. It was always the same. There's never been a difference.
I spoke to a guy.
I like your conviction.
Yeah, I spoke to a guy.
I like Joe. It's not a condemnation. There's just a pattern here, right? I don't claim to have the answer for why there's a pattern, but you'd have to be a fool to not see it at this point, right?
I spoke to a guy. He owns a pipe shop in Corona, California.
Oh,
Donnie Emler?
No, that's Compton.
Okay.
Yeah, he knows Joe pretty well, and he said he's too nice. For one,
that's what Hymus says. Also,
he's too nice, and he said that he also is like resistant to change the bike or training or anything, and doesn't want to sort of try new things too.
I've heard the same thing from another gentleman.
Yes.
Yeah. I heard the word, and I don't want this to sound negative, but the word stubborn was used.
Yeah.
Like resistance to change is probably a kinder way to say it, but they're both the same thing.
Was that when you and Lars were making fun of me in the tower?
No, and you were so wrong on that, which was the best.
Well, because you guys are laughing. You're literally looking at me and laughing. What am I supposed to think? Like, you're laughing.
We were not. I swear on
that. That's fine. No, I believe you.
We told you exactly what was.
I know. I believe you. But like, yeah, when someone looks up and 20 feet away, two guys are laughing, looking at them, laughing at him. Which,
well, maybe we're both like really good friends with you, and we're not making fun of you. Maybe you should start there.
All right. Well,
how about that.
Kitchen. Hey, I left the press tent a little early before the end of the set. Did Kitchen crash again?
First moto?
Second moto. Crashed?
I don't know, which is sad, but I don't know.
He crashed?
I didn't see him crash. I mean, Masterpool at one point just hunted him down and beat him.
Okay, so, well, that's,
Masterpool just
so,
straight up passed.
So that's what I'm getting at. Like, that's
not good.
That's what happened?
No, he just passed him.
Okay. All right.
It was not a good look.
Because I believe when I left.
Now, look, I know that Masterpool's a title contender. I know you guys don't believe.
Here we go.
But if you're Kitchen, that's not supposed to be.
No, there was nothing good about that.
No, especially at a track that he won at, and he's better, quote unquote, than he's ever been, right?
Well, I think he's bummed at the track. I don't think it was the Thunder Valley mega rut fest he was hoping for.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He was getting very aggressive with Ty also. Not like going to clean him out, but he's like, no, this can't happen. Like, I think he knew that you can't let that happen.
Jalik Swole, sixth overall. Good job. Masterpool qualifying quickest, Weege.
We're still mathematically in this.
Yep. 8-6 on the day for Ty.
Where are we at on Sabachi? I know you're probably getting to him, but
yeah.
I'm a little worried here.
Bad start, crashing the first turn, and he took the inside gate to stay out of trouble, right? Because that's what you do at Thunder Valley. And he
pinched there, though.
He didn't get out of trouble. So, and then second moto, like
that's where Hymus. That's where Hymus hole shot it from, though.
He had the 17th gate pick in Moto 2 and got a bad start and then worked his way up, right, into 8th. So, Weege, Masterpool, anything? Floor is yours.
Still mathematically in it.
Okay. Pierce Brown rode really good in the second moto. He was way back and charged up to 9th. I don't know.
He's so invisible to me. I don't know why. I need to look. It's hard for me. I'm watching the monitor most of the time so I can talk about what the audience is seeing, which precludes me from kind of scouring through the field sometimes, which I don't like, but it's just part of it.
Yeah, second moto, I thought he rode well. He got 6th in the first moto, which is good too, but when I interviewed him after the race and talked to him, I was like, hey man, your second moto, you were on the move, and yeah, he thought it was good.
The invisibleness is, I think we know, he's not a good starter. It's, you know, his great moto is going from 18th to 5th, and JT, you live this life. Unfortunately, people don't see that. They see the three laps of fury and a random dude that can get a hole shot every once in a while.
Yeah,
fair or not fair.
The kid can ride.
But he never gets starts, ever, ever.
No.
He's going to Star next year. Maybe that'll help.
That might fix it. Hey, speaking of that, I saw one of the Deegan fans, and we know that there's Deegan fans that have crazy theories out there. On one of these million group texts we're on, someone had this theory of like, you know, the other Star guys are riding horribly. It's just Deegan is so amazing.
The
He's
bike is bad. No, the bike is bad. Yeah, the theory.
That's it. Yeah, right. Terrible.
That is a terrible take. That is a terrible take. The bike is not bad. However,
he was overcoming the bike's deficiencies, I think, was the guy's point. And I'm just,
that's
just
ridiculous.
Cannot face palm enough.
No. However, besides Deegan, Star has to be super pissed at how it's going for every other rider.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Romano was better this weekend. Not great, but better.
I mean, I'm like, they're fighting for top 10 right now.
Jordan,
these other guys.
Jordan posted.
I don't think that they're. I honestly, this is my personal opinion. I haven't asked their opinion. Maybe I'm dead wrong, which that happens a lot. I don't think that they're that unhappy. They've won every race so far, and they have a 23-point lead. Everyone else could be damned.
Star doesn't work that way.
I don't know.
They'll damn anybody. There's lots of damning.
I'm just saying, like,
plenty of
Bobby Reagan's going to sleep at night. He's like, we're leading the points. You know what I mean? Like, and let's think about it. Most of the riders there are leaving anyway. So,
well, what does that tell you?
They're probably just shrugged their shoulders. Like, yeah, whatever. It's all going to be different anyway.
Well, Jordan was sick, he posted, coming in. So he rode.
Okay.
And he fell first turn, first moto. Came all the way to 11.
Anyone there? Sorry, Steve. I didn't mean to step on you. Is anyone there, not named Hayden Deegan, that race this weekend, staying there next year?
That's Bennick.
Bennick, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So
I think Bennick has something to worry about. Like, he needs to get it together a little bit. But anybody else, they're probably just like, no, I know they're not going to fire him. I'm just saying he's the one they're probably yelling at. Everybody else, they're probably like, yeah, whatever. You know, a lot. Let's do this.
I was going to talk about it. Like, it, yeah, it's Bennick's not, this is not great, right?
No, it's not. I heard he's not happy with the motorcycle, right? I don't think it's a lack of power. I just don't think it's necessarily like he's gelling, which is very strange because he looked great last year. But clearly something's amiss. I think that's your point.
You know? Yeah. 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 Romano was better. Jordan was six. So, you know, I mean, cause Jordan, I feel like is a 5-6 guy all day long. So maybe, you know, he was sick, quote unquote.
He was way better in the other two races.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's by, he still got this variance problem in the results, right? Like there's too much crashing, too much trouble, you know, and that's been the story of his career, unfortunately, but that's what happens. Like you wake up and you're like, why is Jordan in 12th?
Yeah.
And you know, there's something went on. He crashed with somebody, went off the track. Like it's just, that's the life of Jordan, it feels like.
Yeah. You're right about that. Romano was better, like JT said, but still 12-12, right? Cody Shock was good. 14-13. I was talking him up on the fantasy pod this week, and I picked him, and he rewarded us.
I picked him on fantasy too.
And like,
I also picked Harry Coolis, who was not there. So someone just punched me right in the face.
Oh wow!
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a rough look, JT.
I have no one to blame but myself. It's idiotic.
As Cody told me too, he was the first non-factory guy, and he was at 13th. So I think that's good, right?
Dylan Schwartz was really good too.
Yep.
First moto, like crushing it. Second moto, he got a really bad start. But speaking of non-factory, he deserves a shout out.
Schwartz is just like, yeah, he's like the Energizer Bunny. Yep. He just goes.
I hate doing this, but when I watch him race, I feel like it's myself. Like he's never going to blow you away with speed.
No.
But you just wake up and you're like, oh, what? He's four positions further ahead than he was 10 minutes ago.
Weege went back into the bird sanctuary.
He did.
They picked up the volume.
I like it.
Yeah.
They picked up the volume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you were such a bird guy, Weege. I didn't know that.
It's either that or the sound when you get a concussion in a cartoon. I'm not sure.
Ryder D? I don't know, man. Honestly, I saw him after the race because I talked to Barsha and talked to Pierce, and I saw Ryder D, and I'm like, I'm not even – he doesn't want to do an interview. There's nothing to talk about.
Do we have any answers on this, man? Because
I don't know.
It's a little rough.
Cochran went from 35th to 16th in Moto 1, so he had some speed in that part. I don't know what happened second Moto. Ryder McNabb, 13th in Moto 1. Good job,
that's
right?
Good. Yeah. That's good.
Canadian champ. And Evan Ferry, 24th in Moto 2. So
that's a step forward.
That's a step forward.
It's a step forward. Yep.
Right.
There's a lot of hate floating around.
Oh, there is.
On the interwebs.
Oh,
right?
There is. On my DMs,
it's a step
too.
Forward, and that's what else can you really ask for?
Right. You should see my DMs.
I'm sure. I see it everywhere else.
At one point, JT reported that Hardy had no rear fender early in the first practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I always like to give Hardy updates because there's always something interesting going on.
Yep.
Never a dull moment in the life of Hardy Munoz.
No, never. Mark Phineas did all right, too. Phineas.
Oh, yeah.
Phineas.
That's really good.
15th in Moto 2. I don't even know what he looks like, so I need to go talk to him.
Oh, really?
I don't know what he looks like. I probably should go by the
His dad owns a power sports dealership, not so different than Hymas family.
Oh, okay.
In the Indianapolis area, so they're super super motorcycle people.
All right. What else? 250 class. Anything else?
I don't know. Does Deegan just run away with this thing here?
What's your definition of like running away?
I don't know. Like wins the title by 50 plus points.
No.
He's 23 up after three races, you say no.
No.
I'll say yes.
Weege?
I think we get the random, you know, something. It's a 22 motos. Something crazy happens, whether it's in his control or out, and then next thing you know, he loses 25 points in a moto, and you're like, oh,
really? Oh wow. Okay.
I think
he's out of here. Because I think that stuff that you're talking about also happens to them, too.
That could be true. I'm just going back, like, remember, like, randomly, like, maybe it was 2018, where, like, Tomac had everybody handled, and just, like, broke it. Red Bud, and they're like, oh, Marv's going to be the points leader for a few weeks. Probably by the end of the year, Tomac will win anyway. I just feel like, I know we just watched a perfect season, but I feel like, in general, something bad happens to everyone at some point, and it even if it artificially tightens the points, it tightens the points.
Yeah,
I mean, he did do it. He did take a helicopter ride already once through the air.
You know what? I wonder when I think about this when we have these NBC races, JT. Like, the things we just see and don't even think about. I remember the first NBC show we had this year was Detroit, and Jeremy Martin just gets laid out in the whoops, and he's just unconscious. And we're just like, ah, J-Mart again, man.
People are just, like, mortified at home, right?
Yeah, and I actually, during the first 250 Moto that was on NBC, I actually said, like, hey, we have to show a replay of that Deegan crash from last week. Because to us, it was just, oh, he lost the moto. That's how VL got him. But to the average person who doesn't see this racing week in and week out, they would see that Deegan crash and be like, what?
Oh, yeah.
This is
normal? I have lots of friends that now that I'm had the privilege of being on the TV team, right, they all want to watch, right? And normally they would never watch. They're watching because of me, which is great. And they're just, like, shocked sometimes.
Yes.
They're like, oh, my gosh, that's what happens? And I'm like, yeah, man, all the time. Like,
our heart rate doesn't go up one beat when he does the helicopter ride. It's just racing. But I try to remind myself to the average person. It's like, these guys are insane.
Right.
This is what I was saying. This is what I was saying about our sport and how hard it is to cover. Because, like, you know, there is some of that in NFL. Like, your starting quarterback goes out, you know, and your season's done.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but then like we said, but then
does
like
he get his head taken off by like Ronnie Watt, you know, like that.
No,
you don't get that stuff anymore.
No,
yeah,
I'm just saying it's so hard, like as a media guy, because you're just like, okay, this is gonna happen, and what's gonna this guy, and then just boom, boom, boom. Oh wow, look at that, he's out. Like, you know, like it happens a lot, right? So
you did do a good job of that. We just talking about the like how nuts it is. Like, yeah, he just does this wild thing and just pops up like nothing happened. He's just racing again immediately, you know, like,
yeah,
there is something there for the average fan, especially on this type of show where you have to translate that as like, you're watching this and you probably don't understand how difficult it is to go do what they do, how fast they're actually going and how violent and how dangerous this can be. Like these guys are really taking a lot of risk all the time that they don't even think about. You just have to accept it. But, yeah, it's wild.
It's both. Wild. I think a lot of times they make it look so easy. We have to explain it's harder than it is. But then I think when we get these insane moments like Deegan bouncing off his handlebars and doing a helicopter, that then when that happens, we don't react enough. We forget how crazy that is. We go the opposite. We undersell that because we see it every week.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I mean, most people be like, wait, was he dead? Like, no, he got right up.
Yeah, he got right up.
Yeah, he's fine. He's still got second in the moto.
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's interesting? Like, we found out that Hayden's changing and pitting out of the 450 truck, right? Because it's just Justin Cooper over there. And then the 450 trucks had their rain things up all day under that truck, so you couldn't see in. How many fans were over at the 250 truck being like, I haven't seen Hayden all day?
No,
but you think that they want Hayden to hide from people? Because I think they're the opposite of that.
But why are the things up?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the details of it. But I think the premise you're saying is.
I wonder if they're just like, hey, we don't. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to be. You know, he's got a race. He doesn't want to be bothered.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bothered might be the wrong word.
Maybe. I would think they would be the opposite, right? They're like, they want this kid everywhere, which he deserves. He's freaking winning everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Why I just
not be, but.
I found it odd that they kept the shutters up all day, and fans probably don't know that. Fans probably don't know he's in there, right? So they're.
I think you might be right, Steve, because I do know. I think by Unadilla last year, they were kind of strategically placing the motorhome. This is not them not wanting to be, you know, friendly with the fans, but I also think it's like there's an autograph session, a set time, but I think it's like when it's time to go out for the first moto. You're going to have to diss out all 500 people that are standing there. And I think they'd just rather not be a jerk and be like, if they never see us and they never even know that he walked from the motorhome to the bike, it'll be better for everyone involved.
Yeah. And he's got a job to do. So I get it. Yeah.
That's all. Yep. I think we'll sign the autographs when that's time. But the 10 minutes before staging of the first moto, we can't acknowledge
only
1,500 fans who are piled up in front of this rig.
Only Travis Pastrana could do that. That was it. Only one man.
That's true.
he was signing as he was walking to his bike. Like, unbelievable. But only him. Okay. All right. We're on to High Point. Well, we're not all of us, but we may not do a review show next week. We got to figure that out.
Why would we not?
I'm in Italy.
I understand. When are you coming home?
Monday night.
Well, I think we need to do it.
Tuesday?
I mean,
I feel like it's important.
How could you do it on Tuesday when the race is on Saturday? Like, I don't know.
What's the difference?
We could talk to you about the GP.
I guess.
You're going to have a watch report on.
Yep.
We'll fill you in on the things that you didn't see.
I need to,
we need to do it.
I need to talk to Jeffrey immediately. Find out.
And you can report to us.
It would be a huge miss for us to go to this race, you go to a GP, and us not report back on it. That would be a huge miss.
Okay.
I think the main topic, Steve, we need you to weigh in. Nothing more than eye test would be Prado versus Jet. Seems to be a thing that many people want to talk about without any actual way of knowing. So we'll just need you to weigh in on that.
Well, listen, this weekend when I stepped in a massive puddle going in between the trucks, I'm going to enjoy that in Majoria, the wash base.
Yeah, it was pretty bad in Lakewood, there's no doubt.
It was.
A lot of mud, a lot of running water.
It's just, yeah.
Steve will be in the lap of luxury thanks to Fly Racing and like 1% myself. But
yep. Gold
pass. Oh, I forgot about this. Wait, doesn't this date Indy Supercross?
It does. It dates back to
that. Does this date back to David Luongo doing our live show?
Yes.
Are you going to the restaurant?
I don't know about that. But
you said you would.
I know. We'll work on that. But JT got us the Fly Gold Zone passes or something. So
I think that's awesome. But there's nothing more. Besides you and Marty being bros now.
Yeah.
David Luongo just opening up every VIP thing he has to you is just, I just want to see the world come full circle like that.
Wow.
We're not there yet. We're not there. No, I promise you we're not there yet. But
he came to our live show and he broke down. He broke down with us.
I'm much like you are very tied in with the TV broadcast here. I am tied in with their TV broadcast and organization there. We're not there yet. We're working on it. It's better, but we're not all the way there yet. That's okay. That's how it always goes with Steve. Like he always says, I'll come around eventually. We're working on it.
I'll be in the restaurant. Okay, I'll be in the pool. Yeah.
That's what I heard. Okay, so then maybe it's Steve and Jeffrey growing down in a few years, and you'll always have been there for him and all that.
No, we're going to get there. I just don't want you to think like we're full circle. We're not quite there yet.
Well, you pulled it off at Marty, and at that point,
strong record on his behalf of this happening.
Either
more work to be done.
Either Monday.
You're the Cooper Webb of this game.
Yeah, just never count it
every
out.
Every time you're on the ropes and you think it can't possibly, there's no way he's going to bounce back from this.
No, he's going to go to Transworld. He's going to drop bombs everywhere.
Yep. He was 12th in practice. Tonight can't possibly be the night. And at the end of the night, you're like, damn it, Cooper Webb figured it out again. You're going to be broing down with Marty and David Luongo and Jeffrey. You're always there for them.
Stay tuned then. We will do a review pod Monday night, Tuesday morning, something. We'll figure it out. But thank you to Fly Racing and Renthal, Maxis, OnX Maps as well, motorsport.com. Anything else?
Got a lot of birds here.
Yep.
A lot of birds.
Yeah, feed the birds.
So everybody look out. Don't blow Steve up about the review pod next week. It probably won't be out till Tuesday. So just keep that in mind.
Fair.
Yep.
Can't wait. I'll be watching High Point somehow, some way. So, all right.
SMX video pass?
Yes. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you guys. See you.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.